Without this overhead here. Brother Mike is at the back. Brother Mike, if you would pray for the offering, if you would do that now. Well, God.
My soul cries out, hallelujah. can sit down. It's good to be in church on a Wednesday night. I'd said before, 6 years I didn't get to do this. And it gave me a greater appreciation for Wednesday night services. Brother Wells asked me a couple weeks ago to teach on a Wednesday night. And I actually had a thought that kept reoccurring in my mind over and over. And it was probably one of the most profound things when I first came to God that made me really fall in love with the Lord. And that was the promises of God. I saw it on Facebook this week or last week. It says, I believe that our future is as bright as the promises of God. And it took me back, and I thought about, without promises and without hope, without a future, you don't have a whole lot. And I thought about it more and more and more, and I started digging through a lot of the scriptures and writing scriptures down. Greg's going to give you each a scripture. I got about 22 of them. And what I want you to do, we're going to participate. I want you to read the scripture from your smartphone, your device, your hopefully a Bible, something, or borrow a device, borrow a cell phone, and find the scripture that you're given. And think about it, and then I want you to comment on what you feel the scripture means to you, okay? And I'm going to read a few notes. I'm going to read a few scriptures and a few thoughts. Lord said in Jeremiah 29 and 11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I thought about that years and years ago, probably 38 years ago when I came to God. A lot of people start out and they think they got life figured out, but you really don't know your expected end. You know where you might want to end up, but you're really not sure where you're going to end up. I remember driving a truck a lot of years. I'd drive around and I thought I knew where I was going to end up on the route, and I'd be 100 miles away from where I thought and anticipated I was going to be. But then I read about the promises in God's Word, and 66 books of promises. And I started digging into some research online and seeing how many promises were in the Bible. Some said there was 3,000, some said there were 30,000. I read there was all over the board, different counts and scriptures, a number is how many there were. And I thought, how many is there? All I know is there's enough. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world through corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's what happened to me 38 years ago, escaping a life that was not so good. And God made a lot of promises to me. And that's what I think over the years has meant so much to me in my walk with God. Even the times when I've messed up and I've failed God or failed, you go back to the promises and you think about, I cared enough about God to start my walk with God, and I thought about enough things to know that God loved me and he cared for me and he showed me his promises. And I had a lot of good men in my life in the Aurora Church that loved me and helped me see the promises of God for what they really, really were. I had a father that didn't make a lot of promises, and what few he did make, he didn't keep. So for me, I didn't have a lot of confidence in him. So when I came to God, it was hard for me to forgive myself, and it was hard for me to have confidence in a God that really cared when I saw a father image that didn't really care like I needed him to care. Does that make sense? My mom cared. She made some good promises. She kept her promises. When she says something, you could take it to the bank and know that what she said would come and would happen. Hebrews 4 and 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want to come up short, you know. I've come up short before. I've made promises to my family that I didn't keep. Has anybody ever made a promise you didn't keep? You didn't intentionally necessarily break it, but circumstances, or you didn't have the ability, or maybe it was a flaw in your character or something, that you weren't able to fulfill the promise. But Jeremiah, again, I'm going to read it again. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and of not of evil, to give you an expected end. Philippians says, to be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God keeps and he makes a lot of really big, big promises to us in his word, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for all the promises that I've been taught and seen and discovered that God has revealed to us. But then I thought about a lot of times when I thought God had failed me, but he hadn't, and I thought, well, why didn't the promise really come to pass? And I thought about, well, was I obedient? And I've realized over the years we must be obedient to receive God's promises, and we must believe his promises, and we have to claim them by faith as we walk with our Lord, and he never fails us. He'll fulfill the promises as we need in our lives. Gregory, would you read a scripture for me? I don't know if you picked one out, but Hebrews 10:34. Please. I'm going to get through all my notes. I got two more pages real quick, and I'm going to let you guys minister to each other. And I want you to expound. I know there's a few Bible scholars here that can comment on scriptures you're given. And you don't have to get really elaborate, but just tell each other and remind each other what the scripture means to you as you read your scripture you were given. Go ahead, Greg. Stands out in my mind. I remember when I was a smoker. Doesn't forget, he's never late. If he promises something, he will fulfill it. And I asked myself, why should I always believe God's promises for me as a disciple or a believer of Jesus Christ? because we know we can trust his character. Like I said earlier, we can trust his ability. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He knows what we need. He has the ability and the character. He's truthful. We can trust him to keep his promises he's given us. Our entire walk with God, we look at a God of promises. And sometimes you just have to hang on to the promises, because you may not see. If we look at what we see always, it doesn't look so good. But if you hang on to the promises of God's word. Brother Davis, I'd like you to read a scripture. If you would read Numbers 23:19, please.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and you shall not do it, or hath he spoken and shall not make it good?
He's not a man that he should lie. That means a whole lot. God can't lie. The Bible teaches us he won't lie. You can trust him. You can take it to the bank. Can somebody give me an example of a promise that was given to you that someone has kept? Anybody? I can. My wife took a vow 1983, June 11th. She's never broken that vow. She's been faithful through good times and bad times. She's loved me unconditionally, just as the Lord would. She's promised to be a good wife. She's promised to stay along my side, and she has. It means a lot. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. If that was the only thing I knew from God's word, that would be enough to know that just as my wife has stuck by me, she probably shouldn't have, but she did. She's been faithful. She's been forgiving to me. She's given me grace and mercy. That's why I love her. And that's why I love my Lord. I apologize for being emotional, but the Lord promised he would forgive us our sins. To me, that means everything. The Bible says, to whom has been forgiven much, loves much. Right? And I think about the love of God. I think about the promises of God. So I want you to read the scriptures that are given to you and share something from the scripture, what it means to you, what God's word says to you from that scripture. I'm going to put Brother Kellum on the spot. He's a speaker. And you can pass the mic to whoever you want to next.
I don't know if I call myself a speaker. The verse that was given to me was Psalms 34:19. And before I read the verse, I guess the first thing that pops in my mind with this verse is there's two sides to every story. And it kind of jumps out with this verse. And the verse goes, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And if you put yourself in that category, which I believe everyone here should, I mean, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. But if everyone here has been bought with the blood of Jesus, and when Jesus looks at us, he sees his blood, his perfect blood. And when he looks at us, he sees us as righteous. And the second part of this verse, it says, and this is the part where there's two sides to every story. It doesn't just end there. I mean, God did not promise that just because we're his children that we'd have smooth sailing. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. And that's what kind of jumps out at me, this verse. If that's what was the only part of this verse, it'd kind of be a sad story. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then it goes on to say, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We have a faithful God. And, you know, there's two promises here. One is life's not going to be perfect. And the second promise is God's going to be there with us the whole time, and he's going to deliver us. And when I read it as a whole, I look at it and I go, my God is faithful. Amen.
First Thessalonians 4:16 is what I was given. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then 17, then we will, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Basically letting us know that this isn't it. We've got more to come, and it's going to be better than what's here on earth. Even though we think we've got it made, we're going to hit some rough times, and at least we'll have a promise to come. The last verse, 18, which wasn't on my sheet to read, does say, comfort one another with these words. And sometimes when you talk about the rapture, a lot of times I think you get scared. You know, and it's supposed to be a promise, and it's supposed to be something that's joyous that we're supposed to comfort each other with.
I have Isaiah 40:29-31. This is very loud. Okay. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What this means to me is that if we wait upon the Lord, if we're walking faithfully, if we're trusting God for everything, that he will renew our strength in those times that we need it. We'll mount up with wings of eagles. We'll be able to soar and rise above anything that would come against us. I'm sorry, I just feel like this verse was totally for me tonight. I'm sorry, I came here tonight and I said, God, I'm so tired, I don't even want to go. And I'm so tired of fighting. Every time I come to church, it's a fight with my husband to be here. It's a fight with my kids to not want to be here. So what this means to me tonight is just to keep walking strong and keep being an example for my family.
I was given Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. And to me, what this means is that there's a big difference between want and need. And I was thinking, I want and I need Jesus. And so it used to be, before I really got to know Jesus, I was always, I need. But that wasn't, they were things that I really didn't need. And once I got to know him better, and longer, the longer I live for him, the more I realize he's all I need. I don't need anything else. And he really is all I want. Because when we have him, that is truly all that we need in this life. And so this ministered to me too. I really, I'm really glad that I got this scripture.
All right, chapter Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in my soul. You know, I thank God that Jesus is my rest. Amen. He's the Old Testament had the Sabbath day, that, and the whole Old Testament where they had miserably failed Jesus Christ, but he said, my yoke is easy. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen. Jesus brought something that was for the whole world. We never had a rest before, but God is speaking to the Jew here, amen, that they had miserably failed, but he's trying to tell them that, you know, I have a second. He said, I have a new testament. I have a better testament. And you can enter into your rest with me. I have something better, and that's what Jesus was bringing. And I thank God that he just didn't leave it for the Jews, but it came on to the Gentile, that we could enter into his rest also.
Well, this scripture was given to me for a reason. This was my scripture. It was meant for me. Back some time ago, years ago, I was facing something and nobody knew but only him. And I was scared because they told me it was serious. And sorry. But I was going to go through this, but I went to a service one night at Brother Peterman's, and it was a real lively service. And he didn't prophesy a whole lot, but in that night, he said, there's someone here that's either going to die spiritually or whatever. So, and he said, when he said that, it felt like a light shining right on me. And I got scared, really scared. And I prayed, I told him, I fasted all that week. And every day I pulled a promise. This was my last promise before I went to surgery. And they almost lost me. And Billy was 15 years old. And I remember opening my eyes to see him rubbing my lips with a wet tissue and praying for me. And I made it. I pulled through. But this was my promise. And my friend at work, she was a Christian and she went to our church. And she said, can I hold that promise for you? I said, you sure can. And she said, I'll be praying to you when you go to the surgery. She said, you tell Wayne to call me as soon as you come out. Well, this is what was pulled. And it's Isaiah number 10. It said, fear not, fear thee not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That was my promise. And I still have it in one of my Bibles today. And I thank God because this was my promise.
I know there's scriptures that every one of us hold dearly that sustain us and keep us going through something sometimes.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So I think that's one thing we all really need to think about. Temptation is really bad. And you need to stay within yourself and remember what it is to be a good Christian.
My scripture is 2 Peter 1:4. But I have to go to the scripture before that and read both of those together. And the reason why I do that is because I get a fuller meaning of that. God has always brought this scripture back to me when I feel like I'm weak and I can't go on, or I don't understand things that are going on in my life. And this scripture has been really beneficial for me. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. A lot of times I stop and I read that and think, wow, I forget that. I forget that I am a partaker of the divine nature. You know, my righteousness is nothing compared to what his blood has provided for me. And that having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So that's the end of that scripture. But I usually read all of it, you know, just so I could really get a full understanding. Because it says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. This meant something to me as a young Christian, because I didn't understand what a Christian was, but when God showed me the scripture, I began to understand the process and what God really does for us in changing us, where old things are passed away and all things are become new.
All right, I have Deuteronomy 31:6, and like everybody else, we had to read a little before and after to find out what was going on. First of all, this is all for the old men that are older than me, Brother Span, Brother Gary, Brother Kellum, Brother Dave's just under me, and Moses has to tell him, I'm 120 years old, I'm quitting. But God's going to go before you and give you another man. That's when he really assigns everything over to Joshua and tells them through Joshua that God is giving you a new leader. Have faith in him. Have faith, you know, in God. It's God that led Moses. It's God that led Joshua. Scripture says, this be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And at this great time of transition, God gives great promises.
Okay. I have Exodus 20 and verse 12. And it is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And this is the only commandment that has a promise attached to it. The others are just comments or directions on how you should behave. But this also has a promise with it. And as far as what it means to me is that is that nobody has perfect parents, but we look for ways to honor them, and we look for all the positive we can, and we keep as much peace as we can in our family by honoring our moms and dads. There is nothing in this world more stressful than family stress and family arguments. And we all know that stress certainly contributes to an early death. And so if we honor our imperfect fathers and mothers, we will keep family stresses at a minimum, and God will bless us with a long life.
I have James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It means to me, because I've been hurt a lot in my life. Anything from getting bit by a dog to having cancer to getting hit by a semi. I ask for wisdom every single day. How to treat Carrie, how to treat my parents, and I fall short I fell short until August of last year, until I found God, and then asking Him for wisdom, it all came to pass, and then I met Carrie. So if I didn't have the wisdom, I wouldn't have had nothing.
So I have 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful to see the call it you who will also do this. To me, it means that to let that, no matter what you're going through in life or even right now, that, God's peace dwells in you, dwells in me, and sanctifies me, and that's it.
Okay, my scripture is Psalms 37 and 4, but I'm going to read 4 and 5. and this is one of the scriptures. Years ago, I had read a book called Evidence Not Seen, and it was probably one of the most inspirational books I had read. It was about a woman in a prison camp, but she had hidden the word of God in her heart, and when she had gone into this prison camp as a young woman, scriptures came to mind that she didn't even know she knew, but she had you know, studied the word over the years. And at that time I thought, you know, I know some of God's promises, but I don't really know where they're at. And so sometimes when you're really in a place of need, you're just like, oh, where is that found, you know? So at that time, reading that book, I started writing down different scriptures, and then when I would do the bread program, I'd write down different promises and things, and then try to commit those to memory. And this was one of those scriptures, and I think of my kids mostly with this scripture. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And the desires of my heart are that my children that I have raised in church since they were little kids, I mean, they came to church at 2 weeks old, you know, and I've tried to raise them the best I know how, but every one of them have walked away from the Lord. And so this promise just reminds me that if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart.
My verse is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I take comfort in this personally only because God's comfort is that as long as we seek him, he'll take care of us. But today this verse gives me comfort. Because if any of you, you know, who deal with kids on a regular basis, this is reminding me that first God is going to seek, and the kids are going to hear them. The kids, you know, God's going to call them, and they'll hear him, and then they'll start to pray. I mean, they got to pray and they got to seek, and then finally they turn from their wicked ways. So it comforts me because I get frustrated, you know, the only adult in a band full of kids, and you got to turn around because they know you're coming to get them, but yet they don't have their phones turned on, you know, or you've got to drive, you know, both sides of the land to pick kids up, and that's frustrating. But this is telling me today that, yeah, my frustration, but God's got it all in control. God's been called them. So just keep going.
I remember being very encouraged when I heard Vice President Mike Pence quote that scripture at the, I don't remember if it was at the inauguration or afterwards, but that gave me hope to know that somebody in the White House is considering God in the equation of our government. And I'm hoping and praying that this country, that scripture can be fulfilled. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. This land needs healing. We need healing. Andrea?
Okay, I have kind of a long one. It's Revelation chapter 21, the whole chapter. So I hope you like my voice. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as it is width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth, I can't pronounce it, the seventh. Oh man, it's a whole list of things that I cannot pronounce. So 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I couldn't read my whole verse while everyone was speaking, but the moment that I walked in and you started speaking about the promises, and as I started to read the beginning of this, what it means for me, kind of like some of the other people here, I try to be short because I could be really long-winded, so I'm trying to figure out how to say this kind of shortly. Before I walked in here, I struggle. We all have hard knocks in life, I know. But I've had a lot of despair, a lot of mourning, and a lot of more sad than happy, just to say the least. And it's been something that's been prophesied over me at least 4 times in my life, that I would have a bitter cup to drink of for a very, very long time, but that it would be very, very useful later in life and for me to hang on. And never in much more detail than that. And at first, when I started receiving those words, I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, and in your nature, you endure as much as you can. And then finally, you break at some point. And in my breaking, I walked away for a couple years. And in coming back, I struggle more with the faith now, because I think I was stronger before, because I had this hopeful, like, okay, yeah, but any moment, like, he's going to tell me the rest of it, and it's going to be great. But the rest of it hasn't come yet. And I have way more questions than I have answers, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. But I'm hitting a lot more times lately where I'm like, okay, I'm growing weary again. I'm growing faint. You talk to me for a while and you tell me, I see you, everything's going on as it's supposed to. Don't worry, I'm sending another word to you soon. I'm like, but when is that word coming? So this last week and a half, if I'm honest, I've just kind of been on autopilot, and I'm like, I don't know what you expect from me. I mean, you're good and you're awesome and all those things. I know that fundamentally, but I'm like, what do you expect? Like, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to give. I can't fake it. I'm not a good faker. My face will tell it all anyway. So I came in today and I was like, I don't really know what to say. I'm not saying that I'm never coming back. I'm not saying that I'm going to give up my faith completely again, but I don't know, God. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, please speak to me today, is what I said. And I literally said it in my head, like in the car, as I was like walking in. And I was expecting to just kind of, I haven't really gone through the motions since I've been back, if you will. But today I was kind of going through the motions. I like kind of walked in. I'm like, I don't even really feel like smiling or saying hi to people, but these people are nice. You know, I love you guys. You guys are amazing, kind-hearted people. I can tell you guys really love the Lord. And so as I was greeting you guys little by little, I felt my heart getting a little bit encouraged, but I was like, and I didn't really sing tonight, even though the words were kind of speaking to me a little bit. I'm just like, you know. And then you got up there, and you started talking about what, you know, we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the promises of God and hope. And I'm just like, of course. You'd be talking exactly to the area that I feel really weak in right now. And then as I'm reading this verse, I go back to asking, like, what's the purpose of all of it, God? Like, what's the purpose of all the pain? What's the purpose of all the suffering? What's the purpose of all the questions and the disappointments and all that? Like, what's the purpose of it all? Because sometimes I feel like maybe there is no purpose to it. But in reading this, I was reminded, like, no, but there is. And what's coming is better than what there is now. And this isn't what I intended initially, but if you hold on, like, it's coming, that New Jerusalem is coming. And I'm just like, wow, that really was for me. So thank you for listening to me.
My verse is Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And that verse itself, saying we can go through these different the waters and the rivers and fire. And, God's going to bring us through, and no matter what we go through. And we just got to have faith and believe and trust in our God and stay faithful in all that we do. And live day by day and moment by moment and reach out to others and help them to find their way, even though this scripture is talking more of an individual going through the waters and the fires and everything that, it's an individual walk, but yet we are there for each other, but we need to be prepared and to watch our path and to go in the way that God has for us, but also to, when others have needs, that we are there for them to give of ourselves or to help them either with a scripture or, you know, however, whatever they need, that we are there for them. And no matter what we go through, we can make it through, and it's going to be God's going to carry us through. God's going to help us through it, and God's going to bless us. So, praise the Lord.
Anybody else have a scripture? You missed? Hand them out. Somebody volunteer to read another scripture? What time is it? I can't see.
expressing your feelings. Being transparent. You know, the world needs a transparent witness. They don't need fake Christians. They need real people with real problems that has a real God who helps them solve it. Somebody, anybody.
I have Philippians 1 and 6, and it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And actually, it's funny because I was laying in bed the other night and just kind of reminded myself of scriptures. I was thinking of the one Billy used for many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth them from them all. And this was another one. You know, just that what God's begun in us, he's able to perform it to the end. You know, he didn't start a good work in us just to say, you know, I'm done with you. So.
So I have Jeremiah 29:11, and this happens to be my favorite verse, and it's on my wall at home. And it's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and future for good, not bad. And that verse for me is that even when I struggle to go, God, where are you when it hurts? God, where are you when I have a bill that's supposed to be paid and I don't have money to pay it. God, where are you? Where do I belong in this plan of yours as I grow older with whatever happens? You know, I don't have to worry because God has a plan. God has a plan and it's for good and it's for good things and not bad things and that, you know, he's not going to lead me down the wrong direction. And I just have to put my hope in that and know that God is faithful.
Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Plain and simple. If you've ever believed there was a God, and you've ever declared it with your heart, no matter what you're going through, when it comes to the end, you'll find your way back, and it will all be good. God will save you.
Give yourself a hand. This in no way or terms was an exhaustive list of promises. There are so many more about God's salvation, his healing, his deliverance, his keeping power, his comfort, his strengthening. We could go on for weeks declaring and claiming the promises of God, but sometimes I need to remind myself that we have a promise-keeping God that doesn't fail us. As long as we do our part, we know he'll do his part. Brother Davis, would you dismiss us in service this evening?